Money FM 89.3, best of the evening runway. China Perspective.
Money FM 89.3, the evening runway. I'm Elliot Danker. We'll take a look at headlines out of China right now. From China's initial restraint silence on Iran's unprecedented attack on Israel to China's President Xi Jinping ordering the biggest military reorganization since 2015. The implications of all this and more. On the line with me, Dr. O. A. Sun, Senior Fellow, Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Dr. O, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Very nice talking to you from a really heavily raining KL.
Yeah, I can hear the rain in the background. It's a bit hot here in Singapore. We could use some rain. But we have a lot to unpack, Doctor, including China's reaction to that attack on Israel by Iran. They have signaled their ties to remain solid following Tehran's attack on Israel. But how come it took so long for China to say something?
Well, because China has very robust and solid diplomatic ties with both Israel and Iran, right? So when you have two, shall we say, friends who are, you know, embroiled in some sort of a fight with one another, you need to be very careful in terms of which side to pick, to side, or to somehow remain neutral in such a situation. So it's taking a long time, yeah.
Okay. The possibility of their initial silence on Middle East conflict, the conflict there rather, the possibility of all of that tipping the scales of regional influence back in favor of the U.S., is this something that China should be concerned or keeping an eye on?
Well, indeed, the Middle East is one of the latest diplomatic battlegrounds between China and the United States. And last year, China was rather successful about a year ago in brokering a so-called rapprochement between Iran and Saudi Arabia. And that was perhaps the high point in China's diplomatic efforts there. But since then, of course, we have Israel-Hamas fight. And then now Iran and Israel are getting at each other as well. And how China could indeed navigate this sort of choppy and sometimes treacherous waters in the Middle East, I think that remains to be seen here.
What if I turn it around and China looking at this as an opportunity to be the international peacemaker? I mean, we've had this conversation before. They could play a role in avoiding some kind of an all-out war in the Middle East.
Well, they could, because, as I said, there are diplomatic relations with both. But it would appear that this is very curious. Even though the U.S. is also at loggerheads with Iran, it is actually asking Israel to exercise some more restraint of not attacking Iran too seriously and so on. So I think, yeah, as you suggested, the U.S. is back at its game again in terms of brokering in the Middle East, yeah.
There's another issue I want to talk about, Dr. Oh, and that's China's President Xi Jinping ordering the biggest military reorganization since 2015. This move, of course, follows the ouster of quite a number of top military figures. We talked about this last year, so it all happened in 2023. I want to get your perspective. What's he up to here? Why has it taken quite a while to reorganize the military?
Well, number one, it's taking quite a while because China's People's Liberation Army, although it's supposed to be firmly under the party's control, but of course, you know, as an armed force, it has a very long-standing tradition and so on, and some of that, it's very difficult to break through. Number two, I think what really matters in the mind of President Xi, perhaps it's not so much like what we would call regularizations or reorganizing the military for improving its strength and so on. That is important, but perhaps more important, it's a reshuffling of key people in the military. As you suggested, some has been ousted, there are new ones will be installed and so on. And in the process, you know, perhaps you would sort of rearrange the power bases.
Yeah.
That, you know, they get appointed to different positions, yeah.
Actually, this is a good point that you bring up, rearranging the power bases, and I want to talk about anything in particular that stands out. I mean, for me, China terminating the Strategic Support Force, this was created, what, 8 years ago? It was all about looking at capabilities in space, cyber, political, electronic warfare. Are they going to modify this or take out, I mean, cyber surely needs to stay, right?
Yeah, well, they're taking out this so-called Strategic Support Group and instead that they put in this so-called information support group. They're very curious because, well, while they have this information support group, but as you mentioned, the cyber warfare, cyber support unit is still somewhere out there. And how does cyber information differ from, let's say, regular information? Well, I think that is yet to be determined. But again, as I said, I think it's more a question of shifting power bases within the military. Yeah.
All right. Dr. Oh, let's talk about China's ambassador to Canada, Chong Pei-Wu, leaving his post. Any reason given with regard to this? Are we expecting a replacement, perhaps?
Well, I think some research, not quite. But keep in mind that he has been posted there since 2019. And usually, international tradition, ambassador is there for around 3 years. So he has been there for like 5 years. So it's time for him to go to somewhere else, right? So it could be something that simple. But of course, this coming at a point when China's relations with Canada, it's, shall we say, tense. It's very tense because Canada accuses China of interfering in its elections and so on.
Okay.
That's why people get suspicious, yeah.
Yeah, so you would think that something's wrong with the relationship, but actually it's just a case of timelines and it's time for a refresher, as they say.
I would think it's more like that, but a time when it's very tense, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see how it plays out, obviously. Let's talk about Germany's Chancellor Olaf Scholz's visit to China. I know we touched a little bit on it last week. Trade was on the agenda. Dr. Oh, I want to get your perspective. Do you feel that Mr. Scholz succeeded in balancing distance and diplomacy with this visit? I mean, you kind of have no choice to make nice with China, but you also have to keep up with your stand as well, right?
Well, I don't think he succeeded in doing so, to put it bluntly, because well, Germany has a love-hate relationship with China. On the one hand, it needs China's huge market and a lot of its cars are produced in China. On the other hand, it also constantly criticizes China on human rights issues and so on. So I think this trip, when Mr. Scholz brought to China a number of very senior CEOs of German companies, so I think it's more an economic trip, but I don't see anything sort of extremely concrete coming out of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have they divided the EU then? I know you said you don't see anything extremely concrete, but have they sort of divided opinion in the EU? In your opinion, do you think the EU can afford to be protectionist or look at cooperation when you see the way of the world in that part of the world, the economy in that part of the world?
Well, I think the EU's main economic concern vis-a-vis China nowadays is that China they view China as subsidizing all these electric cars, and these electric cars from China are flooding the EU market. Well, but some of them have German technology in it. So that's why I say it's a very complicated relationship between the two. And Germany perhaps at some point could not, you know, have the cake and eat it as well. It would have position.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't even say it's about a balancing act because it is that complex. But definitely an issue that economists will be watching out for moving forward. I've been speaking with Dr. Oh Ei San, Senior Fellow, Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Dr. Oh, as always, I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much indeed.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio, at the App Store and Google Play.